Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Witnesses. Today this word witnesses is perhaps most commonly used for witnesses in a courtroom. Someone who has seen a crime take place or who knows the person who is being accused of the crime and can testify about what he or she has seen or knows about that person. In the gospel today, we hear Jesus calling his disciples witnesses. They had been with Jesus to see and hear all of his teachings and miracles during the years of his ministry. They had seen his suffering and death. And now they had also seen his resurrection from the dead. And just like witnesses in a courtroom, Jesus wanted his disciples to testify to the world about everything they had seen and heard. Just like those first disciples, we also are witnesses of our risen Lord. We have seen his grace in the scriptures. And so now let us proclaim his grace in the world. Our gospel reading that we just heard takes place on the evening of that first Easter Sunday. The disciples and other believers were gathered together in Jerusalem. They had heard the report of the women who had gone to visit the tomb early on that Sunday morning and had found the tomb empty. Peter and John had ran to see the tomb for themselves, and they also reported that it was empty. And the risen Lord Jesus had already appeared to Mary Magdalene and to Peter and to two other disciples who were on the road to a nearby town called Emmaus. Those two disciples had just returned back to Jerusalem to where the rest of the disciples were gathered together. And they excitedly told them everything that had happened and how Jesus had met them walking along the road, and he had finally revealed himself to them as their Savior, Jesus. And so all the disciples and believers who were gathered together were talking excitedly about these things when suddenly Jesus was there standing among them. Naturally, they were frightened, and at first they thought that Jesus was a ghost. But Jesus spoke comforting words to them. He showed them the scars of the wounds on his hands and feet, and he let them touch those scars so that they would know that it really was him. But then when they still did not believe it, because of joy, Jesus then ate a piece of broiled fish right in front of their eyes to prove to them that he had a real human body, that he was not just a ghost. And then Jesus said these words to them. "These are my words, which I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written, and so it must be. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Notice the words, "Then he opened their minds." Why did Jesus have to open their minds? The disciples should have remembered all these things, because during the 3 years of his ministry that they were together with Jesus, Jesus had told them numerous times that he would have to suffer and die and then rise from the dead. He made it clear that he had to do these things in order to fulfill what was written about him in the Old Testament, which here he refers to as the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. But even though Jesus told them these things again and again, the disciples' minds were clouded by their own hopes and dreams of how exactly Jesus would live and act as a Messiah. They were expecting him to be a Messiah who would bring earthly glory and set up a political kingdom to drive out the oppressive Roman Empire and soldiers from their land. When Jesus suffered and died, as he said he would, The disciples at first did not recall what he had told them about his resurrection. Instead, they were afraid and they hid themselves away in order to avoid persecution themselves. When they found the tomb empty that first Easter Sunday morning, they were confused and they did not recall that Jesus had said that he would rise from the dead. When the first reports began to come in from those who had seen Jesus in his resurrected body, the disciples were excited. But then when Jesus himself appeared among them, they were frightened because they still could not believe it. They thought they were seeing a ghost. And even after Jesus showed them his wounds that he still had in his body and let them touch those wounds, after he proved to them that he was not a ghost by eating a piece of fish right in front of their eyes, even then they still did not believe it. So Jesus repeated what he had told the disciples so many times before. These things had to happen. Jesus explained to them that because he is the Christ, he had to fulfill everything that was prophesied about the Christ in the Old Testament. And what was prophesied there is so very clear. The Christ would suffer and die, taking upon himself the punishment for the sins of the whole world. Jesus tells the disciples that as a result of his death and resurrection, forgiveness of sins would be achieved and proclaimed for all people. That is why these things had to happen to him. That is why God had made all of those promises and prophecies through the prophets of the Old Testament. That is why God bound himself to this course of action that ultimately led to the death of his very own son. It was all motivated by God's great love and mercy for humankind, by his love for each and every single person who has ever lived in the history of the earth, or whoever will live. Such selfless love is impossible for our sinful minds to fully comprehend. But the disciples now were finally beginning to understand it, because Jesus himself lovingly opened their minds to understand and believe. Just as he did with the disciples, Jesus also opens our minds to understand the scriptures. By nature, our sinful nature that we were born with and that controlled us from birth, we knew nothing about God's love for us. We knew nothing about the forgiveness of sins that God provides through Jesus. Yet in his amazing grace, God made us his children through the washing of baptism, and he revealed his love to us in the pages of the Bible. But dear fellow Christians, we must confess that, like the disciples, we also often fail to keep in mind what the scriptures say. We are so often focused on the things of this life that we often fail to live lives as redeemed children of God. We come to church and we hear a message from God's word on Sunday morning, but so often we let that message go in one ear and right out the other without really applying it to our lives. We get so wrapped up in the busyness of our daily lives that we sometimes begin to lose sight of why Jesus had to die and why his resurrection is so important for us. We sometimes forget that sin really is a big deal in God's eyes. We forget that our sins are damnable. And when we forget this, well then, what need do we really have to remember Jesus' death and resurrection for us? What need then do we really have to remember the washing of our baptism? What need do we have of absolution or of the body and blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper? When we distance ourselves from the Word of God and when we fail to apply it to our lives, we stray dangerously close to falling into unbelief, dangerously close to falling over the edge of the abyss and into the clutches of Satan and the eternal fires of hell. But even in our occasional apathy and closed-mindedness, Jesus still comes to us. Through his word, he opens our minds to understand fully the forgiveness of sins that he won for us. He reveals to us again in the pages of Scripture that these things had to happen to him. He shows us our sin and shows us the hopeless condition that we were in on our own apart from him. This is why he had to suffer and die and rise. He demonstrates to us just how great his love for us is. He shows us the scars on his hands and feet and side, and he invites us to touch them with the hands of faith as proof that he has died and has risen from the dead for us. He calls us to watch with the eyes of faith as he eats a piece of broiled fish, proving that he truly has risen from the dead, and that sin, death, and hell are now powerless against us. These things had to happen because he promised that they would in the Old Testament. These things had to happen because Jesus loves us. Because of his resurrection, we will live forever in heaven with a perfect body and a perfect soul, to sing praises to him who loved us and gave himself for us. We are witnesses of our risen Lord. We have seen his grace in the Scriptures. What a blessing that is that we have to see in the Scriptures the life, death, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus. Our great joy at what God has done for us now flows over into every aspect of our lives, just as it did for those first disciples. We are witnesses of our risen Lord, so now let us proclaim his grace in the world. In our reading, we see Jesus open his disciples' minds to understand the Scriptures, not only for their own personal benefit and for the strengthening of their own faith, but also so that they could go out into the world and tell others about this good news of God's love for all people. And so Jesus commissions his disciples, equipping them with his powerful gospel and promising to send them the Holy Spirit, the promise that he fulfilled on Pentecost just 7 weeks after Easter. We read, "He said to them, 'This is what is written, and so it must be. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I am sending you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.'" Certainly, the disciples understood what a life-changing event Jesus' resurrection was for them and for all other people. Certainly, they understood and believed that Jesus was their triumphant Lord and Savior. And their actions that follow show it. As they went and preached the good news of Jesus and his resurrection, even in the face of opposition and persecution from the Jewish religious leaders. Just like the disciples, we also are witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Though we did not personally hear Jesus speak or see him upon the cross or touch his resurrected body, yet we have seen and heard and touched all these things with the eyes and hands and ears of faith. God has preserved the record of these things for us in his holy word, the Bible. And God has opened our minds to understand and to believe these recorded events. Our joy at the resurrection of our Savior Jesus wells over so that we cannot help but speak out, declaring the praises of him who loved us. What a message it is that we have to proclaim. We proclaim Christ and him crucified. We tell of the forgiveness of sins that he won for all people of the world. And we tell how he proved that forgiveness of sins by rising from the dead and by appearing after his resurrection to literally hundreds of witnesses. We tell that because of his resurrection, we also will rise from the dead, and we will be with him forever in heaven. What comfort our Lord's resurrection gives to us. In it we see God the Father's stamp and seal of approval placed on the work of salvation that Jesus has completed. This knowledge of our Savior's resurrection empowers us to proclaim his love and salvation to all people. We are witnesses of our risen Lord. We have seen his grace in the scriptures. Now let us go and proclaim his grace in the world. Amen.